It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Just thankful for the opportunity to be here. If you want to take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 4, where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. Trying to be really cautious of what I say and do, because around here you don't get by with anything. Wednesday night after service, we were standing back at the back door just talking, and all of a sudden I see two little smart aleck girls up here on stage. And one of them is up here. I won't say who she is, but she is a Pardue. She was standing up here, and she goes, she gets a microphone, and she says, "Let's just welcome our pastor to come preach this morning." And she walks over here, and she shakes hands with Addie as Addie runs down the aisle over here to come preach. So around here, you got to be really careful what you do, because we got a bunch of little smart aleck youngins that like to make fun of us old people. No, I'm so thankful for our youngins in our church, and man, I'm glad that they feel free to make fun of me. There's plenty of material there, so y'all just have a good time with it. But it is good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Before we get into our scripture, I do just want to take just a moment and just make mention, you know, there were three families in our church that lost loved ones this past week, and let's continue to remember to lift these families up in prayer, and even through that, I'm glad that God's good to us this morning. Thankful for the sweet Holy Spirit that we feel by being in His house this morning. Also, one more thing I need you to be thinking about is we are planning a baptism the first Sunday in March, right after Sunday morning service. And I know that Braylon is wanting to be baptized, and we're just trying to make sure that date is going to be correct. And it may move a Sunday or two, but I want to give you a couple of weeks' notice. If you're in our church this morning and you know that you've been saved, that is the only prerequisite to be baptized. Know that you know that you know that you've been saved by the grace of God, that you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, because without that, baptism is no good at all. So if you know that you've been saved and you want to be baptized, I'm not asking you if you want to join our church. That's going to be up to you and God, and y'all can make that decision later. But if you want to be baptized, if you will, let me know sometime between now and let's say the end of the week, so we can sort of get a plan together. But as of right now, the first Sunday in March, we're going to be thinking about having a baptizing. Not in the creek, but in our baptistry. We won't go out to the creek. It's cold right now. So if that's something that you've been wanting to do, just let me know, and we'll take care of that the first Sunday in March, or there somewhere close by. Philippians chapter number 4 is where we're taking our scripture from this morning. I do ask you to pray especially for me this morning. Struggled with the message this morning. I've tried to pass this off and preach something else, and told Autumn this morning, I said, I don't want to preach what God's given me. I told Scotty that I didn't want to preach what God's given me, and he said if he got up and went to the office not to pay any attention to it, because he didn't really want to hear it anyway. So, but this morning, I love to preach messages that are just full of God's glory and conviction, and that's not what God's given me this morning. I ask y'all just to pray a special prayer for me, that I'll be right in the center of God's will, that I won't go to the right or to the left of that, and just get me and my thoughts out of the way and just completely listen to the voice of God this morning. But as we get into that, if you will, bow your head and pray with me, and surely pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, God. And God, I just want to thank you for the time that you've given us to be together. God, I want to thank you for the spirit that the choir sung in this morning. God, I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. God, I pray, dear Father, for the families in our church that's lost loved ones this week, God, for the families who are going through battles right now. God, for some that are in the hospital and the different things, God, you know every need, and we ask you to touch those needs. God, I pray, dear Father, for our church family that's here with us this morning. God, I pray if there's needs in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, God, that you'll touch those and that you'll help us, God, to leave here closer than we were when we came. God, if there's one here this morning that's lost, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. God, I pray that you'll protect my mind, protect my lips, protect my heart this morning, God, as I try to preach and bring what I feel like you've laid upon my heart. And God, just get you, may you have glory through everything that's said and done. And God, may we draw closer to you. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Philippians chapter number 4, I trust that you'll stay with me for just a few minutes this morning. Let's forget everything that's going to take place after a while and tomorrow and this week. It may never get here. So spend these few minutes that you have with God this morning just concentrating on His Word. But Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for." Now let me give you just a little bit of background to get us to Philippians chapter number 4. Paul was writing to the people there at Philippi where he had went and he had set up this church. But this letter come from Paul while he was in prison. And kind of the way this all come about is Paul had went to Philippi and he had set up this church here. And then he had left to go to another place, and He had been arrested and he was sitting in prison, and the people of Philippi heard that he was in prison. And they loved Paul, and they wanted to take care of Paul. So they took up some money and they took up some things to send to Paul while he was in prison. They had Epaphroditus take this stuff to Paul while he was in prison. So Epaphroditus leaves Philippi with the stuff that he's taken to Paul, and he takes the money and the things that they wanted Paul to have. And while Epaphroditus, he is instructed by the people there to stay with Paul for just a short time. Stay there and minister unto him, support him, be there with him. But while he is there with him, he becomes ill. And the people back in Philippi hear that Epaphroditus is ill, and now Paul is in prison, and they begin to be brokenhearted. They begin to be stressed out. They begin to be burdened because all of this is going on. So now Paul, he realizes that the people in Philippi are under these stresses, and he says, okay, Epaphroditus, I'm going to send you back. You need to go back to them, and when you go back to them, I want you to take this letter, and this is where we get Philippians. Paul is writing this letter, and man, these people at Philippi, he loves them. You can tell by verse number 1 of chapter number 4 how he thinks of them. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He says, be strong in the Lord. I love you. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These two guys were kind of at odds. And he says, I beseech you that you bind together in the middle of this trouble. Verse number 3 says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. He says, bind together, just be strong. And then I want you to notice how he starts to instruct the people here at Philippi how to act, how to maybe keep their spirits up as they are under this burden, as they are under this stress. He says, I want you to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Even in the middle of this time when your heart's hurting, even in the middle of this time where you're kind of stressed out over me and over Epaphroditus, he said, I still want you to rejoice in the Lord. You always have something to rejoice about in the Lord. Verse number 5, he says, let your moderation or your self-control. He says, let your self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He says, don't worry about it. He says, you call on God and you trust in God, and that's where you need to be. And look what he says in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I want you to pay very close attention to what verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you. For just a few minutes this morning, I want us to think about a thought this morning. I want to just go through the Word of God and let's look at how important that it is for us as Christian people to protect our minds. It is very important as we walk this life and as we go from day to day that we protect our minds. Again, look at what he said in verse number 7. He said, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Shall keep your hearts and minds. And then in verse number 8, he says, if there's anything that's lovely, if there's anything that's pure, and I'm not going to go through all of it, he says, to think on these things. He said, in the middle of what you're going through, if you put your mind in the right place, if you understand that the God of peace is going to keep your heart and it's going to keep your mind, and if you think on what's lovely and if you think on what's good, he said, if you'll do these things, he said, the peace of God, look in verse number 9, those things which you have learned and received, heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. If you want to keep the peace of God with you, I think it's very important for us as Christian people that we protect our minds. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, the Bible tells us about putting on the whole armor of God. It tells us about how that we're supposed to protect ourselves and how that we're supposed to go in to day to day that we may be able to withstand against the fiery darts of Satan, about how that we may be able to stand when it seems too tough to stand. And he says, you put on the whole armor of God. And in verse number 17, one of those pieces of armor, he says, and you put on the helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet is designed to protect your mind, to protect your brain. The helmet is designed to take care of that. And this morning, I think it's very important that we as Christian people, we know and we understand that you have to protect your mind. You know, we are influenced by a whole lot of things coming into our mind day in and day out. We have media, we have social media, we have music, we have all of these different things that influence our mind day in and day out. And I'll go ahead and challenge you with this because I know it's true in my life, that there's a whole lot of more media that comes in my mind. There's a lot more social media that comes into my mind. There's a whole lot more of just my surroundings that comes into my mind than there is the Word of God. And the Word of God is what I need in my mind in order to be able to think on these things that are pure, that are lovely, that are true. Those are the things that I need to protect my mind. But yet we're so influenced by everything around us. We have all of these things coming into our minds. Hey, we need to learn to control our minds and to control what comes in and out of our minds. Now, I want you to know that if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, and you believe on the Son of God as your Savior, I want you to know that you're already categorized as a number one crazy person. You are already in a place to where people think that you're crazy. And when you begin to control what comes into your mind and you begin to walk a walk that controls the things that goes into your mind, that you're going to be classified even more crazy. Hey, just this morning, Lynn was talking in our Sunday school class, and what a great lesson that it was. But he was talking about how that people, there is a will of God in our life, and we can hear that will of God from God Himself. But see, I want to show you just how things around us influence us if we're not careful. Just in the past few weeks, and I'm talking about your media and your surroundings, your social media, just in the past few weeks, it has been said and laughed at and just been a wonderful thing that we've had on some of our media, that if you say that you hear from God and that God speaks to you, that you are borderline psycho, that you are crazy. But I want to tell you here this morning that if you are a Christian and you say that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and you say that Jesus has never spoken to you, then there's no way that you're a Christian. Because in order for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has to speak to you. He has to be able to call your name and you realize that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ. And then you respond to His call. And if Jesus Christ has never spoken to you, there's no way that you belong to Him. But yet if you turn on your television and you see that, you can see that you are crazy if you say that you've heard from God. Oh, it's okay to say that you talk to God, but if you say that God talks to you, you're now crazy. Well, I want to tell you this morning that I hear from God. I know that He's alive and I know that He's well. I believe that He spoke to me this morning. I believe that as I began to study last night that He spoke these words to me, that He put them in my heart. And I believe this morning if you've been here and you have felt the Spirit of God, I believe that He's speaking to you right now. And if you don't believe that God can speak to you, hang out for a few minutes after service and let's look in God's Word about what God says. I believe with all my heart that God can speak to us. But you have to protect your mind because if you're not careful, the things of this world will influence your mind and you'll begin to think, hey, am I really crazy? Am I really psycho to think that God speaks to me? Am I really, maybe I'm wrong. And you begin to try to rationalize what this world thinks that have never had an experience with God. And you try to begin to rationalize it with the relationship that you have with God. And the next thing you know, you're all confused. And I want to encourage you this morning to protect your mind. I want to encourage you this morning, don't let this world influence your mind and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Hey, I know in this week we've had a whole lot of things going on in our country. We've had a whole lot of things that has happened. And I mean, there's influences coming in from every situation. Man, how sad it is what happened down in Florida. How terrible it is that someone would walk into a high school and take the lives of people, of innocent people. How terrible that is and how awful that is. And yet when they begin to analyze what happens, if you're not careful, they'll begin to get in your mind. If you're not careful and you begin to listen to all these different things, they'll begin to get in your mind. And I believe that it's very important that we protect our mind. For example, Hey, I'm not here this morning, and I'm not talking politics, and I'm not talking gun control. I'm using something for an example. I don't care what you think about gun control. I don't care what your politics is. If you and God are okay with your decisions on your politics and on gun control, then it's no problem to me. You need to know who to vote for. Anytime that a political election comes up, you get in here and you ask God who to vote for. He'll tell you. You don't need me telling you. If you want to know anything about gun control or whatever, you get in here and you talk to God about it. It ain't between me and you. But I want to talk to you for just a minute about this week. I've heard so much about gun control, and I want to use this for an example. And you know, taking guns away is not going to solve the evil that we have going on in our world. Taking guns out of people's hands, hey, I don't need an AR-15 with a 40-round clip. I don't need that to deer hunt with. But this morning, I want you to know that they want to look and they want to say that the gun is at fault for what happened. And I do understand that there's an argument that that made that so much simpler. It made it so much more easy for him to be able to take those kinds of lives. But I want to show you where our real problem is, because we get so blindsided about them talking about gun control or them talking about political issues and all these different things that we forget what the Word of God says. And we need to protect our mind that we don't fall into the trap. Because you see, they're talking about gun control, and removing guns from our homes is not going to solve this problem, but I want to show you what caused the problem. When they began to remove God out of our schools, and they began to remove the power of God out of our schools, and they began to remove the love of God out of our schools, and they began to tell us how we can raise our children and what we should be preaching in our churches, that's what caused the problem this morning. That's what done it. You can remove guns if you want to, but until you put the Word of God back in these kids' hearts, back in the men and women's hearts, back into the adults' hearts, back into the politicians' hearts, until you get the Word of God, the power of God, and the love of God back in their hearts, then you won't see anything but what we're seeing right now. That's where the problem lies. This morning, I've heard a ton of influences coming into my mind about all of these different things, but I want to tell you what I haven't heard. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Listen to what the Scripture says. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," or without self-control, "fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Don't let the outside influence tell you that all of these things that are out here in the world is what's bad. Man, you can find bad in anything that you want to find bad in. You can find, hey, this is the answer, and this is the cause, and this is the answer. Hey, I want to tell you one problem that we've got is we are in a place to where everybody wants rights, but they don't want any responsibility. They want to have the right to do anything they want to, but they don't want to have the responsibility to handle that in a way that's pleasing unto God. And you know what? We could take, if you took all of the laws of our country and throw them out the window and everybody lived by this right here, we would live in a perfect place. But yet we don't want to live by this, so we have to tweak it and turn it and change it until we feel like we might can do this. And we can't. The outside influences come into our mind and they get it. But I want you to realize this morning, don't worry about whether this is happening or that's happening. Keep your mind that the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that this is what it's going to be like in the last days. This is what it's going to be like. And I hate to say it because I'm in the same boat with some of you Christian people. We have set back too long. We have set back and we have let the world overrun us. We have set back and we have not stood when we needed to stand. And that's the reason that we're in some of the problems that we're in now. And I know we can't go out here, and I'm not saying we should go out here and start a picket line and all that kind of, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying this morning is that we need to protect our mind. We need to fill it with the Word of God. We need to know what God's Word says. We need to stand firm on it. Don't let anybody on the outside change it. Know what God says and stand firm. Keep it in your mind. Protect your mind. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look what he says. From such, turn away. You know, anybody in this world can say God. Anybody in this world can say love. They can say all of these things that points back to God. But I want to tell you what, unless they're talking about the one true living God that loved us so much that he gave his only son for us, and the one way to get to heaven is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, then they can say God all they want to, and it ain't no different than saying dog. Ain't no different. Don't fall in to the trap. You say, well, preacher, I don't know why you're preaching this. And I don't either, but I couldn't get away from it. But you hear all of this outside influence. And you know what? These are the ones that I worry about. Because some of y'all are stubborn enough that even if you believe something, I'm going to say me too, y'all are stubborn enough, if you believe something that ain't right with the Bible, ain't nobody going to change your mind no way. So if you're standing firm and you're good to go right now, then ain't nobody going to change you but God. Okay, and I didn't mean that in an insulting way. I know it may come across like that, but we're standing. We're firm. We made our mind up. I guarantee you that I couldn't talk Gator. Hey, I used Gator and probably shouldn't have, but I guarantee you there's a bunch of men in this church this morning that if I ask you about gun control, you'd say, well, no problem, I'm a cold dead hands. I mean, that's just the way you would respond to that, whether that really be true or not. And what I'm saying is you're standing firm, and you're that way with some things in the Bible. But you know what? We got some young minds here in our church this morning. I've got some young minds in my home, and they ask questions sometimes that I realize that the outside world is influencing their minds. That the outside influence may be stronger than what I'm giving them at home and what they're getting at church. We've got to really protect our minds. There's been young men that I knew that was strong in church, that lived for God, that could have taught a Sunday school class if they hadn't have been too shy to do it. And they leave and they go off to college and they come back and they've got a question of whether or not there really even is a God. So don't tell me that that influence is not out there. We need to protect our mind. We need to stand strong. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'll be done here in just a few minutes. I figured I'd get an amen right there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Be careful that we don't handle the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Listen to this. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I want you to know something. That just because somebody... And I want to make this very, very clear. Just because somebody don't believe like I do, or just because they may be even saying something that influences my mind or your mind, separate from what the Word of God says, can I tell you something that doesn't really just make them an awful person? Because the Bible tells me right here that their mind is blinded. Their mind is blinded. They really feel good about what they're saying. They really believe what they're saying. But their mind is blinded. And they're leading people astray, but I want you to see who all is behind that. Verse number 4, in whom the God of this world. The Bible tells me that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. And right now that he has power here in this world. And he is blinding people's minds. And he is leading them astray. Verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our job is this. Our job is to go out here into a lost and a dying world whose minds have been blinded. They are in darkness, and to be a light and to shine a light and let them know that they've been blinded. And to do that in love. And to do that in a way that points to Jesus Christ. That's tough stuff, guys. It's hard to go to somebody that you know completely disagrees with everything that you believe in. But I want you to know, if your mind is protected and you filled your mind with the Word of God, I want to tell you something, that light overcomes darkness every single time. You cut off all the lights in here and let me get my little bitty flashlight off of my cell phone right here and cut it on. And it might not be a great big beam, but right here in my hands, Light will overcome darkness every single time. And we as Christians, we need to be shining the light of Jesus Christ out here in a lost and a dying world. But we have, verse number 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. I want to leave you with 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, where we're already at. I want to leave you with verse number 8. Now listen, I've been talking about protecting your mind. I've been talking about how things are bad and how they're going to stay that way. How that without God doing some great intervention, that we are living in the last days and perilous times are coming and things are going to get worse. And you say, well, thank you for the encouragement this morning, Pastor. We really appreciate it. You know, it's already to the place to where I get nervous sending my kids to school. I never thought that I would have the thought that we need to put a fence up around the school with barbed wire and we need to have a guard and we need to check every blamed person that goes in. I never thought I would have that thought, but I have had that thought. I never thought that we would be in church this morning knowing that we have a safety team, that we have cameras all through our church that is trying to be sure that we're safe while we're in here. I never thought that we would be there, but I want to tell you something, church, that it's going to continue down that path. Unless God just performs some great miracle and we have a great revival. Actually, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and confess their sins, he would heal our land. But I don't even see Christian people, including myself, devoting the kind of time that it would take to turn back to God the way that we would have to take turn back to God for that to happen. But I want to encourage you with this. That even though that times might be bad, just as Paul was writing back to the people in Philippi, and he says, I know it's bad. I'm in prison. Epaphroditus is sick. I know things are going bad right now. He says, but keep your head up. Think on the good things. And I want you to know that even while you're protecting your mind and you're trying to see what the outside influence is to see if it lines up with the Word of God, and if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, discard it. Get away from it. While you're doing that, I want you to realize what verse number 8, verse number 9 says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We are troubled. We have trouble. There's hard times. There's hardship. There's different things. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That in the middle of all of this trouble, in the middle of all this influence trying to come into your mind, I want you to know that God is there for you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. If something bad happens in your life, I want you to know that even as it says right here, he says you are persecuted, but you are not forsaken. That God's going to be there with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Protect your mind. Protect your heart. Think on the good things, that even though the bad things may be happening all around us, that you can trust that God is there, that He's got you in His hand, that He has a plan for your life, and if you just trust in Him, that the peace of God will come on your life. I know this hasn't been a hallelujah message this morning. This hasn't been one that you just say, well, glory to God. But I want you to know as we walk day in and day out that the outside influences is going to get worse. The outside influence is going to get stronger. And if you have kids and your kids are already grown and they're already settled in their faith, please pray for mine. Please pray for these around us. If you're here this morning and you're on the fence and you're saying, well, I really kind of like the outside. I tell you what, if it don't line up with the Word of God, the Bible says from such turn away. Get away from it. Walk with God, because this world can promise you a lot of things, but it can't promise you that you're going to be troubled on every side but not distressed. This world can't promise you that you're going to be perplexed, but not in despair. Hannah, if you will come on and get an invitation of him. This world cannot promise you that you're going to be persecuted, but not forsaken. They can't promise you that you're going to be cast down, but not destroyed. But God promised you those things. Hold fast in your faith. Even in the middle of bad times, even in the middle of such terrible things happening around us, even in the middle of death happening, even in our own churches, hold fast to your faith. Protect your mind. Read your Bible. I tell you what, I'm learning more and more that filling my mind and my heart with the Word of God is going to become so important in my life. Hey, it always has been, but I'm seeing it more and more now. I don't know that there won't be a time when when we're not really free to meet like we are this morning. I don't know that there won't be a time that we don't have the opportunity to get our Bible out and read. Don't take it for granted. Don't just say, well, this is just a book. This is the living, inspired, infallible Word of God. Fill your mind with it. Fill your heart with it. James has challenged me in memorizing scriptures, and it's really a challenge for me. And you know, a lot of the scriptures, as I'm trying to memorize them, I say, well, I kind of knew what that said, but now it's going from my mind to my heart. And those scriptures are meaning more to me. Get in the Word of God. Protect your mind. Protect the mind of your youth. Control what goes in. Because what goes in inevitably comes out. I've got Facebook. I was going to say I had the other thing, but whatever it's called. What's it called? Snapchat. I don't have that. Autumn does. She snaps all the time. I don't know how to snap. I'm snapping. That's all the snapping I know. All of these things, they can be such good tools for us. They can be good ways to get out the Word of God. They can be good ways to let people know that you care about them. But they can also bring stuff into your mind that you should be protecting your mind from. Because the Bible tells me that sin starts in my mind, goes to my heart, and it inevitably comes out. Let's protect our mind. Church, let's just pray together this morning. Lord, we thank and we praise you for all that you do. God, I know I'm nothing without you. God, I know that sometimes my mind gets messed up. God, I know that I don't fill it enough with the Word of God. And I pray that you'll forgive me and help me to do more. God, I pray for our teenagers in our church, our young adults, God, our young Christians, God, that you will protect their mind. And even as this outside influence comes in, God, that you will protect them, that you will help them to always stand on your Word and trust in you. Thank you that you will never leave us and never forsake us. And in Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, if you're here and you've never known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to make today the day that you accept Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, maybe you have some youth. Maybe you have teenagers and you just want to come and ask God to protect them. Maybe you're here and you say, God, I haven't been protecting my mind like I should have. And you just need to come talk it over with God. We're going to have Hannah sing a verse of a song, and this altar is open.